This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I think I'm going to start with just a funny story. I'm so glad Tilman says that he loses his temper. He's the one person in church that why we ask for his testimony, so that they know there are people like that out there. Not in here, but out there. People who lose their temper because of their kids. And obviously you can't identify with that either, but we will discuss that later. I mentioned before that I'm a father. I'm Ross. I'm a father of two beautiful children. I think we have easy children. I know of people that don't have easy children. I think we have easy children. God is good to us. They're easy now. Teenage years are still ahead. But I'm so thankful for my children. But I can honestly tell you that since seven and a half years ago, I became a father, parenting still is the place that I feel least confident of all the things that I do. I'm a pastor. I've planted several churches. I'm a pastor of this congregation. I've been in the Air Force as a captain in the Air Force. I was an engineer at some point in my life for 10 years. Well, five of that was a student. My last 2 years was the best 2 years of my life. Anyway, the place that I still feel the least confident and the most vulnerable is in parenting Nathan and Marguerite, is in the fact that I, let me tell you a story. Someone once said to me, Nathan was really sick at some point. 2 weeks after his birth, he was hospitalized. He was very weak. He was very dehydrated. He had an infection. We couldn't find the infection. After a while, they found the infection. That week in the hospital with my boy, who's 2 years old, really, really was very difficult for me. So in the evenings, Magritte and myself tag team one another. So we high five at the hospital. I'm there in the evening. She's there in the day. He was really weak. And so remember, because of his infection, he always also had bowel problems, so he was a bit hartleibig. I wanted to say claustrophobic, but you know what I mean. Constipated. Anyway, concentrated. He was very concentrated. Anyway, constipated. So I obviously had to put in set pills for him at night when it was really uncomfortable, when he couldn't sleep. You could just figure out. But you know, with parents, it's a guessing game. So I'm guessing he's uncomfortable. So I remember, some of you have heard the story. It's my parenting failure, number one. So I remember I did it. I put in the set pill. It worked. A few of the nights after 5 days, 6 days, he's at home. And we're happy. The next week, obviously, my wife is still on maternity leave, still recovering from the cesarean section. She's looking after Nathan in the day. So in the evenings, I help out a little bit. And the one evening specifically, I guessed that he was very constipated. He couldn't sleep. He was cramping the whole time. You know, they're crying, and I don't know why. So I put in a set pill again, and it worked. He was relieved, and he was sleeping well. The next morning, Magritte woke up, and I gave her a cup of coffee. Well, I gave her Nathan while she's making while I'm making a cup of tea or coffee, and she said, "Well, something smells really strong in the kitchen. Did you clean something?" And I'm like, "No, not really. Oh, I think, no, I don't know." And then I said, "Oh, by the way," I handed Nathan a set pill. Put a set pill in the evening again, a suppository, and it worked well. And she taps on his butt and she smells. She says, "Which suppository did you put in?" And I'm like, "Those little ones." And she's like, "We don't have little in big suppositories. It's only same size." And I'm like, "No, man, let me show you." So I showed her the Carvel gel tablets. For those of you on parents, Carvel is the eucalyptus oil that you break open to open the nose. Apparently, it works for many things. So since that day, Nathan hasn't had a blocked nose or anything. It's like, it's free flow. Yeah, it's free flow. Yeah, there should be a vow that we should do with parenting. We should vow to do no harm, you know, anyway. So, but I'd like you just to introduce Derek and Anahed, Vili and Alida, Maynard and Julie to you. And maybe it will be good if you say how old your kids are. And just tell us something so we can relate to you.
So Derek and I have three kids. Our eldest one is 7, and then we have a 6-year-old, 2 boys, and then our last one is a 3-year-old baby girl. And we also very soon in parenting discovered that we are completely inadequate for this whole thing. And I think our first one was a week old when somebody gave us a parenting book, and we read for the first time that they should sleep 20 to 22 hours a day. That's after we tried to keep them awake during the day, our newborn baby. We should have knew then this is going to be tough for us. My most recent beautiful parent failure was about 2 months ago. And you know, those of you whose children are like past the toddler phase, past it now, they're very good at delaying tactics. And that's something that really works, like get me irritated. So it's normally bedtime, then they start with their delaying tactics. And we've passed now the bath and putting on the pajamas. The only thing they still need to do is brushing their teeth, and then it's like bedtime story and wada wada. And I'm telling them, go brush your teeth now. And they all run up. And the first thing, and delaying tactics sometimes requires really dumb questions that I can't handle that well. And my eldest son comes and he's like, Mom, there's no toothpaste. And I'm like, ugh, go look in the cupboard. And he goes to the cupboard, and I'm busy packing stuff ready for school or whatever the next day. And he just shows me this little tube, and he's like, is this the toothpaste? I'm like, yes, 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 go, 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 brush your teeth now. And after a while, how it works in our house, the eldest one needs to put toothpaste on the younger two's toothbrushes, and all of a sudden, it's crazy. They're screaming. The one literally ran down the stairs, ran out of the house, just screaming. The little baby girl just fell, and she's just screaming and rolling over. And my eldest son, I'm trying to figure out what's going on, what's going on. And they're like, rah, rah, rah. And I can't get a word out. And as I walk into the bathroom, the smell of deep heat. It's so, yeah, besides losing my kids more than once for 20 minutes at the V&A waterfront when the one was 3 years old, I have accomplished a lot in parenting, I must say.
Hi. Valena Lida. Our eldest is Annemarie. She's married to Isley, happily married for 3 years now. Luckily, we don't have this kind of thing anymore. So, yeah. And then our youngest is Vikas. He's also married to Catherine. Yeah, sorry. yeah, many names, many things. We can't remember all.
We also call her Katrine. So.
Yeah, they stay in Citrusdal. And Annemarie and Isley, of course, stay in Cape Town. Now, what can we tell you? Vikas, okay, wasn't supposed to call him by the name, but okay, one of our children came to us when he was in grade 8. That was about 13 years ago. And now we try to raise our children in coming to us with anything and everything that they want to come with and share with us, problems or not a problem. So Vikas or my son or one of the children came to us. Yeah. Luckily I can't see you because the lights are very strong. Anyway, so he came to us and he asked if we could give his old phone back to him. Now, as he was in grade 8, he got a new phone that worked with internet and that stuff. So we couldn't understand. And then he shared with us that quite a few of the children in grade 8 at that stage and the older ones were on internet and they were looking at anime pornography. Now, that was quite a shocker to us. We didn't expect that. Of course, we were glad to see that what we raised him for was working at that stage, that he came to us with that. But it was still a shock. It was an ice bucket over us. We were able to relax him and us, of course, and talk it out with him. And we prayed quite a bit about it. And we were able to give him the message that God gave us to give him. And lots of love, lots of grace. Eventually we got through it. He got through it. And I think he's a stronger person because of being able to share with you as an adult. Don't think grade 8 is too young. It can happen to anyone, and anything can happen to them at any age. But the channel must be open between you and them. Yeah. Very important.
Ek is Maynard, Julie. We have 3 children. Our son is 30, Okert, he's in Johannesburg, he's married. Ons word oor 'n maand oupa en ouma. Manner is 'n maand. We have a daughter as well as in Nelspruit. She's an occupational therapist there, and she's moving to Pretoria one of these days. And we have a lad lammekie. She's second year at Stellenbosch, doing entrepreneurial BCom, which is something we're not familiar with in this family. just to relate a story of Okert, our son, we were on holiday between Cape Town and Durban, probably. You might know the road between Beaufort West and Aberdeen. It's about 150 kilometers long. And I think there are 2 or 3 bends in the road. And we were about halfway on the road, and Okert says, "Papa, ek wil." To say, okay. Maar ek klim ons net hier uit. He said, no, he won't do that. He needs a toilet to sit on. So we said, ek gaan vir jou leer hoe doen my se veldie. And as I say, you can stop there and you can see 10 kilometers either way. So we both got out and we both stood on the shoulder of the road. We both got rid of our clothes and we proceeded to do what we needed to. But we didn't have paper either. And die Karoo het nie baie groot blare nie. So we had to use stones. anyway, so the moral of the story is if you have enough distance to see, you can do almost anything.
So the opinions expressed by these people do not represent the church or the pastor. It is their own. So maybe Mackie, thank you for helping us always at the desk. Can we just flight that the first slide on the presentation? The second slide. You know, we live in a society where people are disconnected. In many ways, and the next slide has a picture of a perfect family, and probably grab it in Israel. Thank you. So, my nerd, why thank you? Probably, if you're married or if you're part of a family, then you also have perfect family pictures somewhere. We all like to put up these perfect family pictures, and what it does, it creates the idea that everyone has a perfect family, but you are thoroughly aware of your own family's imperfections. So it creates the idea that everyone is perfect except me or except us, and it creates a longing and a discontentment. So But God says that we should love in grace and in truth. So today we're just going to focus on that one text of the book of Malachi. And it says that God made them one by pouring out a portion of His Spirit in the husband and wife in their union. And this is what God was looking for. He was looking for godly offspring. So God says, I make a bond. I grace this bond with my Spirit. I pour myself in here so that this bond will be strong. And this is what God wants, is godly offspring. So today, I'd just like to ask you as parents, just one simple question. In which ways have you experienced the grace of God in your life when it comes to parenting? What have you learned? What has God blessed you with to help create the bond between husband and wife that also includes the children? And what has God learned? What has God taught you about that? And Derek and Anahit, maybe we can start with you on that side.
Thank you. I have a natural inclination to include the kids, and I really enjoy spending a lot of time with them. And about a year and a bit ago, it came to a big realization, and I don't know if one of you had that. The lights are off, you're chatting to your wife, you're kind of struggling through a few things, and then I ask her, but why? Why is this a problem for you, and why are we struggling? And she says, what I'm going to say, you're not going to like. And then you go, okay, silence. But she conveyed to me, you're placing the kids above our relationship. And it was an easy way to kind of engage with them on their level and get into their world and to also enjoy it. But in that way, we found that we were then secondary. And a large drive of our connection with them, our relationship with them, is to actually show them somewhere, somehow, they are not the center of this universe. And by just a small setup in terms of spending 2-3 hours on their level, playing with them, and then you kind of, whatever's left is left for your for Anahit. That kind of warps it. So I can tell them, you're not the center, but then, oh, I might be. And I had to, that was a big realization, to just tone down on where do I place them, how do I engage with them, and for their understanding of, okay, maybe I'm not the center of this whole universe. So it's a big challenge and something that I regularly have to check. It gives me the opportunity when I get into their space, I really make a point of it to connect with them, but then it's got its purpose, and I can move from that space with their cups basically overflowing, and they then just have a little bit of a better understanding. Okay, it's mom and dad, and it's us. And there's obviously a unit in terms of the five, but there's also a difference between the way that we operate with each other and how they relate with us.
Yes, I think just to add to what Derek's saying, we obviously, when we identify that we're doing this thing, and it's a typical, I think a lot of you would agree it happens in your houses as well, especially where the mom is a stay-at-home mom or a homeschooler, when the dad comes, he takes over a little bit. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but that is just something that naturally started happening. I'm at home with the kids. I work from home. So as soon as Derek comes, it's his turn almost, and then I focus on making the food ready, wada, 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 and then we switch again at a stage, and then we switch again and a switch, and we just realized our kids never saw us operating together. And it is actually more difficult to create an environment for them to actually see us operating together, because it's an easier way to tag team. And we decided, okay, from now on, we're going to limit the tag teaming, and we're going to try and do everything together. We make food together as a family. We play together as a family. We put them together in bed as a family. And it had such a big change in our family society, because our kids could really see that we also spent, we're spending time together with them both, as a couple so that they can see us as a unity as well. And a lot of discipline stuff just fell into place immediately when we started doing that.
Good.
Hi. Yeah, we got a little, so like 15 years ago, we were saved by the Lord as the whole family, and we were super excited. We came from a past where it was just a set of religious rules, and pretty much a living that you need to be perfect. And also, there was not much grace, and there was a lot of criticism, and we were unhappy. So when God came and really changed that for us, and we actually discovered, we were super excited, and we really wanted God come and change our family the whole concept. So, but to do that, we needed to trust the Lord and also to get the children on the same page. But we needed to change. But you don't change overnight. It doesn't take, it's really a process and it's not easy. But we told the children that we're going on this journey and they're with us and make it actually very adventurous. So not like a debt pool that you need to do this and that, but really that God give us life and we repented of the past and now we're all on the same page. And to be on the same page, we decided that it's not I anymore, it's we. You're part of this family where your father is the head of the house and mommy needs to sit backwards now. I'm the helper because I was quite strong in that area too because he was sometimes absent. And also the unity as they told us and also that, but they're part of it. And to be part of this unity, this exciting family that we're together now with God as the center of the family, you need to put the other one first, always, as God, and love that person unconditionally. And it was quite exciting, and also have grace, because each one of us got our own stuff to work on, and you need to have grace and mercy for the other one. So you focus on your road. Each one's got a road to walk, and you have to focus on yours. Don't look too much to the others. You just give love, and you accept your brother and sister as a gift that God brings into this family, and that's important. And I must say, there's a lot of times me and Willie cried before the Lord and face down. It was difficult, but God's faith and is really. And you will just stand up in the morning with a new idea and think, "Yo, where does this came from?" And God really teaches us how to operate in this sort of environment. Yeah, and we also had a lot of. So God said, no, to come with me. We said, but what do we need? And God said, no, just have a willing heart and just come and walk with me. And I'll show you. Just bring your Bible and your willingness and prayer, and we'll sort it out as we go along. And so we said, the most important thing God came and showed us to be like visible in the home. Visible, and that was really very important for us to show that God is a live God. And just to come back to something that I've read is like when police investigated a false money or a money note, they don't teach them about all the different types of false note or what you call. They will go and teach him what is the real note. Paper note look like. And that stands out for us because we felt if we teach our children what is the real God, they will have the discernment for what is false in the world. And that will stay with them like forever. So we tend to focus on what is negative. Look at that false and that and don't get betrokken bedaar and things like that. But if they know what is true, they can discern what is wrong. And that was very important for us. So we would go on this, we deliberately, that was the most wonderful time we spent together. I will always remember it. We deliberately sit outside on the around the table and deliberately start talking about godly living. We had discussions into the night. You can't believe it. We were so excited. And never underestimate your children, because you think they're not ready for this or that. God, the Holy Spirit bring that truth to them. And we will discuss intensely about things that really are true to the word and experience and testimonies. And then we will end it off with prayer. We really sit and encourage them to move forward, just pushing forward. Just, you can overcome this. And around that table, a lot of miraculous things were happened. Later, Esley joined and French joined and Catherine joined, and we keep on doing this. And it was really something so special that we will never, and they even today, they it was really worth, but you need to initiate it. You need to put God there in the middle of the table and start doing the right things. I just want to see what, and the love for each other, it's also, we will be known by our love for each other. And we decided, one of the saying things in our family is like, you always choose love. You don't even have to tell them, they know it. If you fight, you choose love. Because love brings peace, understanding, and you repent. You run for repentance because you know how it felt when you repented and you choose love. That is very, very important. In the beginning, it was very slow, but later you run. You say sorry immediately and you say, sorry, I love you. I didn't mean it like that. So you mimic God's ways. And if they don't see it, if they don't see how you actively point when somebody's sick or doing or actively being involved that God wants in our families, they would not do that. So I can just say that connection is very, very important, to connect them to the Lord. And you will see, they will even come and tell you that they disconnected, and keep that open for, you know, just when they come and say, I can't believe that you disconnected. No, how can we help you? I experienced that the last week. You disconnected. How can we love you? What is the false? What is the devil? What is the lies here that we can put you, help you onto the truth of life? And I would never have done it if we restructured our roles as a wife and husband in the family, to stand back, that my husband is the head of the house, God is the center, and the grace that we have for each other. And by God's grace, He will let you. He's not a God that will ever leave you behind. And we are not a perfect family, but we're still on our way, and it's an ongoing process. And we just, the love for each other just overrides everything, and we accept each one for who he is in Christ. And we thank you for that. And now my husband's going to talk about prayer and communication.
Thank you. I seldom get a chance to talk, so yeah, my children can vouch for me there. Communication, very important, as Alida said also. Your children need to see that you respect each other, and that is seen in the way that you communicate with each other. Do it respectfully and with love, and you honor each other. Now, many of you that work in a business background, in a corporate background, you will know that one of your biggest values is communication. Now, what we seem to forget sometimes is prayer is also communication. Prayer is our communication to the Lord and with the Lord. And that is something you need to teach your children. You can pray for anything and everything and always and anywhere. There's no stopping to it. If you need anything, you ask for it, and you do it through prayer. If anyone is sick, if there's a need or a shortage, whatever the case is, you pray for it. And we made our way of living is praying for it. We go to the Lord before we ask or plan anything and everything. That is part of our family at this stage. And I think we left that with our children also, because they come back quite often, not always for food and stuff, but they come back for a visit and for prayer. And that is quite special. To close off... you can now. To close off, we wanted our children to be productive, God-fearing children. But you can't do that without love, prayer, and let them know the Lord. They must know the Lord. So you can get...
Yeah, I just want to emphasize also the word, because the word is the truth and the real note, and they have to know the inscriptions on that. And just to end off, we are really a prayer family, as Willie said, and miraculously we saw things through the years, and your children will hold on to when God came and through for them. And also like Anna-Marie and Vickers, they fasted for work, for exams. It sounds simple, but they need to see God in action. When miraculous things happen, they can't believe it, and that's what they're holding on to, and also for me and my husband together. So, but I know that I must just mention that Vickers in grade 12, God revealed to him that who his wife was. Now, that's also in a way a little bit dangerous because he was still young, but we kept on going. He waited 7 years for her. She came back. They married now. So, and he was just standing. He said, "Mom, I can't go out with the other girl because I'm messing with somebody else's husband, wife. So he was holding on to this promises, and we prayed through the years, and she came. They married now. So God really was faithful in that. And also for breakthroughs and work, and also asking for a husband, and there he is, a godly fearing man. And lastly, we just want to emphasize to church family, we went through a period a few months ago, if you know, where they lost a little baby, and that's when the fan hits the puddings, like I say, because then you need God. Then you need your family to hold on, your church family. And it was wonderful to see how in this difficult time for me and Willie and them, where the churches came and comforted them and also support them. They brought food. They really encouraged them and to hold on to the Lord. And they had something to hold on to help them through this time. And that just shows you in despair. You're not in despair, but like you lost, but you know God is still in control and He leads you through this difficult time, although you don't sometimes understand. But the support was immensely, the cell group and everything. And we can just testify, if it wasn't for that, I don't know what should have happened. So you want to prepare your children for the future when we're not there, that they had got something to hold on to, that they will look for the right people around them, to surround them with the right people, with godly family to support them, because we're not going to live forever. And that is the main function, and I'm so glad to the Lord to saw that in action here, and I know in my heart they will be fine. We're not perfect. It's an ongoing process, but start today. make a vow as a family to do the right things for the right reasons. Nie uit jou eie krag nie, you will never have it, but God will see to everything you need. All right. Thank you.
Ja, my nat sê ek met eerste praat. I think one thing I'd like to share is that since I've always been very intentional about being a parent and being a wife to my husband. And what helped me a lot in that is focus on the family. First of all, I started reading James Dobson's books on parenting. And nowadays we have the podcasts and on CCFM and Radio Tigerberg Daily, they have programs of focus on the family. And that really helped me a lot. Even sometimes when we were praying about something around the kids the next morning when I switched on the radio to listen to the program, there was an answer for me. So God really provided amazingly for us as husband and wife, as well as for our children. So I would really recommend to listen to their podcast and radio programs. What I want to share with you is when our children, as you heard Maynard said, they now all left school and so on. And when we had our last, when Orchid was writing his final exam at university, we thought, oh, well, let's go on a holiday, because we don't know whether we're ever going to have a holiday together again, because he's going to start working and you know how it goes. So as Lauren said, June holidays was a holiday that they had a time for a family. So we also have a very strong belief in that, having holiday together as a family on their own. And we went to Natal. We lived there, to the northern part of Natal, and we were in a game park. And there was an incident and there was a bit of tension amongst the five of us. And at one stage, I said something. And the only way I can describe it is all hell broke loose. Those three children attacked me. That's all I can say. They attacked me. And I stood there. And, you know, I was trying to think, how can I describe it? And I think the best way to describe it is I felt like a swarm of bees attacking me. And every word that came out of their mouth just stung me. And I stood there, and I was totally overwhelmed, surprised, and I just didn't know what to do. And my dear husband...
I was also stung.
He stood there, he didn't say a word, and I was cross at him because he wasn't defending me, because we operate as a team, and you know how it goes. And I stood there, and I just started swelling, and I was so sore, and I was so wounded. And we got in the car, and you can imagine the silence in the car. We drove off to the camp, and we were actually at a picnic spot when this all happened, and we drove off to the camp. Sorry. And we drove off to the camp and we got there and Maynard and I had a discussion and he spoke to the children about the way they were attacking me and they're not honoring me and all that stuff. And we got in the car the next day, but I mean, I was flat. I mean, I just thought, wow, God, what did I do? I mean, for 25 years, I thought I did an amazing job. And now that my kids come and tell me, you just messed up. And I was just in a, you can imagine. Anyway, and so the next day we got in the car and Maynard and Orchid sat in front and I sat at the back with the girls. And there was a Joy magazine in front of, behind the back seat of the driver where I sat. But I mean, I didn't even want to look in the car. I was just looking out the window. I didn't want to see them at that stage. I was so wounded. And I just started paging through this book just to get my mind on something, through the magazine, just to get my mind on something else. And there was an article, and I can't even remember what the article was about, but it was a story about a dad, and he got in the garage, and his son had just thrown all the tools all over the garage floor. And he said to his son, okay, son, come. Now we're going to build a box, and we're going to where we can put the tools in. And this took some time, and he was just relating to his son and having a conversation with his son. This is now the story. And at the end, they made a key. And, you know, I thought, okay, dad's going to keep the key and say, when you want to work the tools, you come and ask me. And he said, no, son, we're going to put the key up there. And whenever you want to, you're going to fetch the key and use the tools and put them all back and put the key there. So what did the dad do? He gave responsibility to the child. Give full responsibility to the child. The other story was of a family who had their kids in school, and the mom decided, no, this government school's not good enough. So she put the kids in the Christian school, and then she decided, no, even Christian school's not good enough. Our kids are not behaving properly. We're going to take them out of the Christian school. I'm going to homeschool them. And then the mom started homeschooling the kids, and the end of the story is that these kids eventually just broke loose totally. They turned their back on their faith, and they didn't want to have anything to do with God. And the penny dropped, and I just realized that I had all the good intentions. And just to include a story, when Orchid was in grade 9, Maynard was away for work purposes, and Orchid came into my room one night, and he said, "Mom, I have no friends." And I thought, oh, amazing, my son's coming to talk to me. He's sharing his heart with me. Oh, this is so amazing. And I said, very wise, and I said, oh, well, son, just be a friend. Just be a friend. Then everything will be fine. And he turned around and he walked out the room, not saying anything. 4 years later, we were on holiday and we were having family discussions and discussing stuff. And he said to me, "Mom, you remember that night?" I said, "Yes, I do." And I thought, oh, well, I did such a good job. He said, "No, you really messed up. You didn't listen to my heart. You just wanted to tell me what you wanted to tell me. I knew exactly what to do. I knew exactly where to go. But you just didn't want to listen to me." So, I mean, there I repented. I said, "Sorry, son," and this is all. And then the next minute, this thing, 2 years later, this happens. And then I just realized, I had to go to my children and say, "Sorry, I've always been doing it my way and not giving you a chance to be yourself and help you to take responsibility for your own life. Like the dad said, son, there's the key. You know the way." But I wanted, like the mom who wanted to teach her children, and what was the mom's real purpose? This mom wanted her children to look good to the world outside, because then she would look good. You hear what I'm saying? So the mom was really idolizing her children and putting them up there and just making sure they look good so that the world can think she's a good mom. And that's where I was. I had to go to all three of the children and repent, as I said. The bottom line is that today we really have healthy relationships and we have good relationships. And easy, not always easy. We're working through stuff with our kids. But that was such an eye-opener, and I knew that was God's way to teach me. Teach your children to love me in the first place and not to idolize, not idolizing them. The important thing that I learned in that whole story is that I was trying to teach children without relationship. And I thought I had a good relationship. Please note that. I thought I had an excellent relationship with my kids. But that just taught me. I had rules, but I was more focusing on the rules than on the relationship. And it's like Joss McDowell said, rules without relationship leads to rebellion. So you can understand, my kids' hearts just broke loose that day. And they were actually rebelling. Yeah, and just, Maynard just reminds me, we were having a discussion the other day and we said, what did we do? Because our kids all love the Lord and they are involved in the church. And what did we do that, well, we know there was a lot of grace. Don't make a mistake. But I think what we came to is what Anahit also said, and Vili and Alida also said, is that we operated in unity. We were never divided we made a decision. We are one in disciplining our children. We are one in when we deal with issues with our children, and we come to them as one. And that's exactly what the Psalm 133 says. When there is unity, there is a blessing.
We probably all know that we need to raise our children for Christ. That's our number one objective as parents. And as it invariably happens, God has to bring you to a place where you realize that you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, or that you are incapable, that you're just not up to it. And I think that's also happened with me. I was busy over a period of time. I think God spoke to me about what I had not been doing, and in particular with regards my son, but also my daughters. In other words, what was I modeling? And what was I instructing? Modeling in terms of what was my son and daughters seeing in me so that they could want what I had? And what was I allowing my children to leave home with in terms of life? What was I teaching them about life? What was I teaching them in terms of social skills, money, sex, God, you name it? And I just got to a point where I realized you have to go to them. And I phoned up my son at that stage, who was at varsity, and I said, "Ek en jy ry vanaand vleesbaai toe." And I drove to Stellenbosch, picked him up, and we drove to Vleesbaai for a night. And he must have wondered, wat gaat hier aan? And I had made a long list of things that I had to repent, things I had to say that I had done wrong, things I hadn't done, which I should have done. And we just spent the evening there. And the point I'm trying to make is that it just made our relationship a lot open. I became vulnerable, and as one knows, if you become vulnerable, if you just put yourself open to somebody, then things do start to happen. And that helped in terms of our relationship. And I realized I had to start doing it with my daughters as well, intentionally. And I'm talking about not even 10 years ago. So it's never too late. You know, you might be 30, you might be 40, 50, you might be 80. It's not too late to pick up the phone or to just engage. I then made an intentional beslut to engage with my daughters one-on-one from time to time and to just listen to their hearts, you know. I think that's also helped because it's all about connection. We're actually talking about connection here this morning. Because if you connect with your children, that is what is going to count in the long run. And what we found, what helps is to just, in my case, to love my wife. If I love my wife, I will draw my kids. In fact, friends of our children, hulle raak skaam as hulle sien ek en my vrou staan op Vrydag in die kombuis. Dit's nie so erg nie. What we intentionally also try and do is go on outreaches with our kids, and to go on holiday with our kids, and to go camping with our kids. There's no greater leveler than camping. And once again, it's just about connecting with your children and connecting as a family. So I just want to encourage you to just stick in there. It's not too late. Work on things and just keep the relationship going.
It was really insightful. I was thinking about... Julian Maynard lent me a book on Catherine and Martin Luther. Yeah, the radical marriage between Martin Luther, who used to be a monk, and Catherine, who used to be a nun. And that's the reason why we and my wife can be married and have children while I'm in the ministry, because up until that point, everyone had a vow of celibacy. Changed the world forever. And I wanted to read about the marriage, but the first few books, chapters was just about their family life, their upbringing. And there was one part that really that I read that shook me deeply. Me coming from, like many of you, a strong South African, Afrikaans, Reform background with a bit of German and Dutch blood in it. And if you can identify, just right now, don't. And I remember reading the chapter about Martin Luther and Catherine's upbringing. And he said about his own children later on, I don't want to discipline my young Hans, his boy, in such a way that I will shame him and that he would want to, that he will fear and hate me forever. And that line just took, and I had a few flashbacks between my Afrikaans upbringing, my schooling and stuff like that. And I had to reflect, you know, we have a tendency to raise our children in the way we've been parented. And just to get that point where, and this is a question I had to ask myself, a line which Roselle actually incidentally shared 2 years ago in church with me. In the way in which I discipline, model, connect with Nathan and Marguerite, do they know that I delight in them? Not that I love them, because love is like a word, it's so fuzzy, you know, it's so fuzzy, we do so much with the word. Do they know that I delight in them? Do they know that I cherish them? Do they know that I gain so much joy from them? So what if I do to have that atmosphere? We always talk about the atmosphere of awe, affection, warmth, and encouragement. To cultivate in our home an environment of affection, warmth, and encouragement, that my children will know, like everyone else who comes into our home, that I delight in you. I really actually enjoy you. I delight in you for who you are, especially in those moments that I discipline them. Because he said, he actually packed his bags, and that's why I went into the monastery, many people believe, after being a master's degree law student, Martin Luther. He said the reason, probably people speculate, that he went just because he couldn't live with his family anymore. So that drove him into the monastery where he was more legalistic and more, until he tasted the grace of God and he changed his life. And for me, it changed my life as well. Just to know that I can parent Nathan, not just in the way in which I was parented in a good home or in my school, but to parent Nathan in the way in which God does. He really delights in me, and therefore he corrects me. And I know that. I know that. I taste and I see that God is good. You really blessed me a lot today. I think we should wrap it up. I can wrap it. Ja, ja, man. Anyway. Wrap it. Derek and Annette, teamwork, it's beautiful in your home. Thank you for sharing, and especially with our younger children, but not just in our younger children, to not pass the responsibility and pass the children, to actually create safe space, you know, in the home where they see the two of you together, to prioritize your relationship. I think you all know, we all know that one of the highest statistical times when people's marriages are in trouble are when their kids leave home. Because then there's nothing that we have in common. Cultivate your marriage for your sake, and your children should feel safe in the way in which you do it. Joch, Willie, and Alida, and I've known this about your family for the past 10, 11 years since I came into church here. I know that your home is a place where people experience the reality of God. They see it in you, but you invite them in. You really pray about stuff. And that's why when your children now still and your grandchildren will go through crises, they know there's a place where God is real and they will run to it. A place where God is real. God is true here. God is real. And you cultivate that environment. And I want to emulate that from you. My children are still young. I want to get that from you. And also the beautiful part where you said that it stood out for me is that your children, that you say to your children, we are on a journey together. Now, it's, in a sense, a little bit easier for you because everyone knew there was a time when mom and dad was unsaved like we were, and we journeyed together for the past 15 years. But that's beautiful, that they know that you also seek God. And for all of us, it's my so mooi, well, many things that you said, but the humility of building bridges with your children, of actually acknowledging that I'm not perfect, and that humility is my verskriklik mooi, and that line that rules without relationship breeds rebellion, People must know that you love them. Your children must know that you love them. I want to give 1 or 2 minutes to one of you, whoever wants to jump this one. You mentioned encouragement. Two of you mentioned encouragement. How do you encourage your children? How do you, because in our world we always speak about discipline, correcting them. How do you inspire or encourage your children to do stuff right? How do you do that? Anyone?
If I need to encourage my children, I pray and ask God to give me wisdom for them. And that is usually the word. And the word always speaks truth.
Okay. That's good. That's the line that we have for today. I want to ask you to close your eyes, and I'm going to pray for us. But after that, I would love you, if you sit as a family here today, and maybe you're the only representation of your family here because they are next door, or like my wife working or somewhere else, then I'd like you to take that moment where we just again, in God's presence with God being here, say, God, as for me and my house, we will serve you. And I'd like you to bring your relationship with your parents and your relationship with your children to God. If you don't have in this church, some could be provided for you after the service. It's grappy. We have lots. But just to take a moment and to say, God, thank you for giving the gift of parenthood. And take a moment and just to pray about your relationship, your heart connection with your children or with your parents to God. Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. We have a good Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to model the heart of the Father to us, God. Lord, we know about the law that came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the one and only who came from the Father to make him known. And God, we pray this for our homes, God, that your grace and your truth, God, will embed every part of our relationship in our homes, God, that there will be grace and truth, God, there will be love and there will be what is right, God, in our homes, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for broken relationships between parents and children, God, yeah? Maybe adult children, maybe children, young children. And we thank you, God, that you are the God who makes all things new. And now, Lord, as we make a vow again to say, for me and my house, we will serve you. We pray, God, that you will bring healing, restoration, delight back into every relationship in our homes. In Jesus' name, make all grace abound for that. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.